Take two, because my first recording just went in the fucking bin. What's going on, everybody? It's your buddy, it's your pal, Spaz Phoenix, the YWC Reality Check. Once again, here to talk to you about night two of NXT Spring Break in 2024. And I said it in the first recording, but it's gone now. We're in a sort of a stopgap situation where half the show has happened, half the show hasn't happened. In my first recording, I compared it to the break between Christmas and New Year's, for those of you who know what it's like to have stat holidays between Christmas and New Year's, and that gap in the middle where time is sort of suggestive and, like, days don't mean anything. For the NXT point of view, it's kind of that, because not only are we halfway through the special, we've also had a draft in the middle, and we're gonna have more draft in the middle before we get to this show, so, excuse me, cards on the table. I'm recording this on the weekend. You guys are probably gonna get this Monday, so you've probably done the math, but I haven't seen the second part of the draft yet. The only drafting that we've seen is Carmelo Hayes sort of became official on the main roster. He went to SmackDown. More surprising to me was Kiana James going to Raw, which is awesome because it meant they cut from the mid-card, not just from the top, which I thought would have been Fallon Henley. And that could still very much happen on Monday. Braun Breaker, who had already been called up, has gone up from SmackDown to Raw now, and I guess you could call it a recall up because he's already been on the main roster once, but Baron Corbin has gone to SmackDown, so we are getting the Wolf Dogs on the main roster. They're just not on the same shows, so slight bit of a bummer there. Super happy for Carmelo Hayes. He had a pretty cool match against Cody Rhodes. What's her name? Kiana James was in the Performance Center with all the rest of everybody, like, watching the calls happen, and she got a little bit of an interview and a little bit of a nice feel-good slash goodbye moment with Shawn Michaels that was nice. If you want more of my thoughts on night one of the draft, the podcast immediately previous to this one is my review of SmackDown, which was draft night one. Now, as I say, we are in the middle, so I should sort of pay a little bit of attention to what just happened in part one. Roxanne Perez retained. I really don't know what that means for her. I don't know what that means for Lyra. And I mean, I didn't think Tatum Paxley was being extremely elevated. I thought she was going to be the pin eater in this match. And off the top of my head, I can't remember if she's the one that got pinned because I'm not very good. But Roxanne Perez, if they're not calling her up, put the championship on her, because the part of the story where she talked about losing that title without ever being pinned was true. Like, she wasn't pinned, submitted, whatever, in a one-on-one match for that. It was taken off of her. It was put in a ladder match. She was put in the same ladder match. That was a whole mess, wasn't it, after her big match with Miko Satomura as well. That's going back quite a while now. Good showing for all of them. Tatum Paxley was the one going into this match that kind of had to prove that she belonged in the match. I think she did absolutely fine. The cartwheel Death Valley driver thing that she's doing on NXT Level Up, if you look anywhere on Instagram, or I don't have TikTok, but I'm assuming it's on TikTok or X or anything like that, she's doing this really weird, it looks like she's going to go for a Death Valley driver, but then she turns it into a cartwheel, into a pin. I don't know what the fuck it's called, but start using that on the main show, please, and thank you. And plus, yes, your buddy Spaz digs crazy chicks. It's fine. Roxanne Perez is still the champion. That is also big capital F. Fine. The D'Angelo family beat the No Quarter Catch Crew because the D'Angelo family is a pushed entity and the No Quarter Catch Crew just lost Drew Gulak because Ronda Rousey's on her period. Moving swiftly on, in a match that we didn't know about ahead of time, Jada Parker took on Fallon Henley. Fallon Henley is awesome. Jada Parker got the win. Fallon Henley made her look like $1 million. Jada Parker, it's not the biggest victory in the world considering she's out there with Scripps and Bronco Nima and Lucian Price, but a win is a win. Jada Parker, I like. I do, but I don't like her as much as Fallon Henley. No, 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 no. Sol Ruka defeated Blair Davenport. Talked about that in the preview. They still don't know what Blair Davenport is, and Sol Ruka is a pushable entity with a really, really gif-able finisher, and she's just come back from injury, so give her a little bit of a welcome back to the company type thing. The Soul Snatcher is such a fucking good move, I'm just saying. Like, I don't want them to call her up, but if they did call her up, like, it would be on the highlight reels every week, Monday, Friday, Monday, Friday, Monday, Friday, etc. Lexus King defeated Baron Corbin in, I guess, Baron Corbin's last NXT match. I mean, technically he could have a match this week because the rosters don't lock until the Monday after Backlash France? Yeah. So he could have a rematch against Lexus King and get a victory on his way out the door. But, I mean, Lexus King is, like, an absolutely awesome dickbag character. So for him to, like, be the one to give Baron Corbin the boot out of NXT after we finally started to like him, it's kind of in his character. But, I mean, all of this, I mean, not the ladies title match, but all the rest of this sort of falls to the wayside when you go to Trick Williams versus Ilya Dragunov. It is a rematch. It is for the NXT championship. If Trick Williams had lost, he would have been forced to leave NXT. Clearly, we knew he wasn't going to lose. Clearly, all the rumors about Ilya Dragunov coming out to the main roster came to fruition here. Hell of a thing. He hit the Torpedo Moscow and the, what's the other thing? The H-bomb on Ilya Dragunov. And they just went. It was not a long match. It was not like any big Broadway or anything like that. I think it was about 12 minutes, maybe even 10. The reaction. Now, I've got to talk about this for a second. The crowd at the Performance Center is always accused of, oh, well, they're just brought in. They're just, they're paid shills. You know, half of them are like Chase U, like extras just in the crowd, whatever. Yes, the Performance Center is small. Yes, the crowd is small. Yes, there are some people there that are just there to be like plants for stuff like the Chase U thing. And it was really cool. You saw Johnny Gargano, the New Catch Republic, a couple other people all sitting in the stands watching this as well, giving it a little extra gravitas. Also, Johnny Gargano gave Trick Williams a little bit of a pep talk. And we saw Trick Williams before the match talking to his mom, who is apparently in real life going through some sort of medical upheaval. I don't want to dig into that because that's not any of our business. Really, realistically, is it? No. The reason I'm mentioning all this is, yeah, you got a really, really small crowd at the Performance Center. The pop when Trick Williams hit that knee, better than Kenny Omega, I would estimate, and got the win, the building moved. And Shawn Michaels said it, Triple H said it, and yes, of course, they're going to say it, they're the promoters, but it doesn't make it any less true. It's the biggest pop there's probably been in Performance Center NXT. Trick Williams is over as shit. Like, as much as it's backwards to say because he just became the champion, you could put him on the main roster. When Carmelo Hayes got pulled up to the main roster on Friday, he was getting whoop that trick chance, surrounding his whole rivalry with Trick Williams. Trick Williams, awesome. Like, he was one of those guys that genuinely, like, struck by the moment type thing. Ilya Dragunov showing him the respect. They had that weird moment in the match where it was so intense they hugged each other and they went back to hitting each other. I know a lot of people don't like that. They accuse that of being the Shawn Michaels, Johnny Gargano, staring at the hands, oh my god, why am I so violent, melodramatic moment. But I don't mind those. Those are really good. It's better for getting a story over than, like, faking a neck spasm in the ring. Yes, my screen name, I get the irony there. But it's better than that, is it not? This was all really good. You had the thing hanging over the head of Trick Williams would have had to leave. You had sort of the idea. Carmelo Hayes wasn't there. Was he there? I don't know. Was he there or not? I don't remember now because it's not the point. Because he didn't become a factor in this match. What became a factor in this match was two guys. One guy that's got obviously the huge size and power advantage versus the other guy that's just a bit crazy. And that's always a good mix. Power versus, you know, people always say power versus speed. No, do power versus crazy. It's a better dynamic. But yeah, Trick Williams got the win. We knew it was coming. It was predictable, but it's the good kind of predictable. And people are already fantasy booking the shit out of everything Ilya Dragunov can do on the main roster. Does he join Imperium because they just kicked Vinci out? Or does he become a big opponent for Imperium and find himself another random tag team partner? I do want to see Ilya Dragunov taking on people like Cody Rhodes, like Finn Balor, like Jey Uso, etc., and going off on his own thing rather than just reuniting him with Gunther because they have a past. But I also really want to see that match that they had at the BT Sports Studio in NXT UK in front of nobody that still got, I think, Match of the Year that year. I mean, I don't follow your Meltzers and your PWIs and shit like that, but I know people are still talking about that match this year. When the draft came around this year and they were talking about the call-up of Ilya Dragunov, they were talking about that match. Of anything that happened during the COVID audience-less era of pro wrestling. Anarchy in the arena. No, give me friggin' Walter and Ilya Dragunov turning each other into fucking hamburger rather than a bunch of goofballs on the mud show driving around in golf carts acting like they're the first wrestlers to ever drive around in golf carts. Raven and Kane and the Big Show would like a word with ya. That's fine. All of this was awesome. Ilya Dragunov's probably going to the main roster. We'll find out where he lands on Monday. I wouldn't mind if he landed on SmackDown, actually, because if you start him off away from Gunther, then in a year's time you do another draft. Holy shit, they're now on the same roster. You've got a whole new set of stories to tell. Also, some really weird stuff going on with the Bloodline right now. Where does Roman go? Where does Jimmy go? Etc., etc., etc. But, as I say, if you want my full thoughts on night one of the draft, go back one pod. It's all there. I was really tired, as I usually am when I'm talking to you guys. I'm really hyper right now because I'm actually getting to record during the day, which doesn't usually happen. You guys don't care about that, but you probably noticed the difference in my tone. So that's what that is. So that's a quick rundown on part one. And you gotta believe, if the draft wasn't for another week, Trick Williams, Ilya Dragunov would have main evented night two. Because you can only have one main event of a show. For those of you that are still lingering on the WrestleMania conversation, there's only one main event. Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair did not main event WrestleMania. Just saying. And yes, I apply the same thing to the tag match. The Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Usos, love the match. Shouldn't even have main evented night one, because that spot should have gone to Charlotte and Rhea Ripley. But neither one of those are the main events, because the main event of night one was... the main event of that WrestleMania was what it was halfway through. If there's more WrestleMania, then you didn't main event WrestleMania. There's more spring breakin', so unfortunately, Trick Williams, Ilya Dragunov, as awesome as it is, didn't main event spring breakin'. It's probably going to be the NXT Underground match. Don't know how I feel about that, but we'll go into it as we go. Now, I'm guessing we're going to get some fallout with Trick Williams. I guess I could see us getting Carmelo Hayes getting one last shot in on his former friend before he heads to the main roster for good. I don't know whether Ilya Dragunov comes out to challenge him to a rematch or just congratulate him on his win. I don't know if we get a brand new... A lot of people are speculating Dijak making a run at the title right away, and I don't see how... I don't have anything against Dijak. Follow Dijak on Twitter. The dude is fucking banter. But I don't see how he slides in there right this second. You want to stick him in there with a competitor that you know is going to get killed right away but could still have a good match. Throw in somebody that you're entirely not expecting. Throw in a Josh Briggs. Josh Briggs, Trick Williams, in a non-title exhibition, this is my first match as champion thing. Something like that. Save Dijak for when Dijak's ready for a legitimate competition. The other side of that coin as well is it's a month. It's a little more than a month. It's a month and 10 days or so before their next... pay-per-view. It's Battleground. It's Battleground Las Vegas. It's Battleground Las Vegas in the UFC Apex. Let's just keep making the pay-per-view titles longer and longer and longer. But that is not even, I don't know, it's like the second weekend in June. We're still in April, guys. So we've got a lot of time to fill before we get to a next, proper title defense. It's not like Cody Rhodes, who won the title, we had the draft, he introduced himself to the world of SmackDown, and now immediately, we're going to France, you've got AJ Styles, let's fucking go. There's a little bit more of a gap with NXT, which is funny, because there's less than a month gap between that and Heatwave, which I'm going to be at, I don't know if I've mentioned that before, in Toronto as part of Money in the Bank weekend, so... Give him a couple of, exhibition challengers. Give him give him an AJ Styles, like what AJ Styles is for Cody Rhodes. Nobody thinks AJ Styles is beating Cody Rhodes, but it'll be a good match nonetheless. Find him a competitor like that for Battleground, and then maybe a more proper, maybe you work yourself into a Dijak, maybe you do a Gacy. Trick Williams versus Joe Gacy would be really interesting, and I would love to see that live at Heatwave. I'm biased. It's fine. So we'll hear probably from Trick Williams after becoming champion, as we should. Axiom and Nathan Frazier are taking on the Authors of Pain because the Final Testament are on NXT for reasons. The promos that Karrion Kross is cutting for WWE.com exclusives or his own social media, whatever, are way better than what he's doing on television. And I don't know what the difference is. I don't know whether it's like taking the reins off, putting the reins on type of thing. But he made a statement of intent a couple weeks ago on NXT when they randomly showed up. But then he also made a statement of intent this past Friday on SmackDown when he grabbed one of the cameras and hijacked it so that he could film the Authors of Pain beating up Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. So my prediction, coming around back to the match we're having tonight, Axiom and Frazier aren't dropping those titles anytime soon. They're not going to drop them to the Authors of Pain, who are only sometimes on NXT. What we are going to get, I think, is Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne coming in and causing some kind of like schmoz distraction, just outright attacking the Authors of Pain to build up to their match that they're having on Friday in France on the pre-taped SmackDown before Backlash. And that way you haven't diminished the Authors of Pain because they've lost a 4-on-2 situation and it was by disqualification. You haven't diminished Axiom and Nathan Frazier. You've had them hold their own for a little bit with a couple of giants with Karrion Kross in their corner as well. I mean, you could do like 3 or 4 more Axioms and 3 or 4 Nathan Fraziers and you still haven't accumulated the appropriate amount of man meat to counter the Final Testament. I hate that name. I like the fact that Karrion Kross and Authors of Pain and Scarlett and Paul Ellering are this big, massive, like sort of like grungy, goth-adjacent group. Final Testament is a lame name. It just is. That's why I trip over it every time I say it. So Axiom and Frazier are leaving with the belts. I don't know whether they win by disqualification, lose by disqualification, or just somehow escape. But AOP aren't picking up those titles because they're clearly building to something on SmackDown. They wouldn't be booking. Here's the thing. It's fine to say that they're on SmackDown, right? But they wouldn't be flying them out to France when they're not on the pay-per-view just to be on that particular episode of SmackDown if something wasn't happening. I could be wrong in that. That's mostly my interpretation. That's mostly my biases. But I don't think that they're long for the world on NXT. I think much more of a case will be made for the OC staying in doing some stuff on NXT. Now, apparently, they technically got drafted. Where did they get drafted? They got drafted to SmackDown, I think, which they were already on, which is weird. One thing, I said it in the last podcast, don't keep drafting people to the shows. Just tell me the changes. If you want to say like there's only one announcement per round, and only make like 5 or 6 announcements rather than like the 12 that they made last night, just tell me the people that have changed. That's it. Just tell me the people that have changed and the call-ups. Every time a SmackDown person goes up and says, okay, I'm either pulling somebody from Raw or I'm pulling somebody from NXT. A Raw person goes up there and says, I'm only picking somebody from SmackDown or NXT. Have Ava show up at the draft and be like, oh, by the way, seeing as you're poaching all my roster, I'm going to take, well, should have taken Cameron Grimes, but they let him go, which was a bit shit. I don't know who else. Who's somebody else? Cedric Alexander and Ashanti the Adonis were put together in a team a couple weeks ago in a video package as a tag team and haven't yet fought. People are very, very upset for other political reasons that Cedric Alexander got squashed on SmackDown, but how are you enjoying Jade Cargill's booking? At least be fair. We can have a conversation if you're fair. Speaking of tag teams, we're getting a debuting tag team on this Tuesday's episode of NXT because I don't know who these guys are. Apparently, they've been on Level Up that I don't watch. Tyson DuPont and Tyreek. Fuck me, how do I pronounce that? IGWE. So, Igwe? Tyreek Igwe and Tyson DuPont are taking on TBA in their debut match. So they're going to take on some jobbers and it'll be fine and they will win. And that's pretty much what it is. Thea Hale versus JC Jane with Jasmine Nix in her corner. Thea Hale, I'm assuming, will have Chase Yu in her corner as well. There's going to be a lot of... This is where you're going to get a lot of the overacting that NXT is accused of, but it's fine. JC Jane's playing a good bitch, and Thea Hale's adorable, protect her at all costs. If it wasn't Fallon Henley, and if Thea Hale wasn't still in Chase Yu, I would say Thea Hale's a pitch for a call-up to the main roster as well. Thea Hale is clearly the Snow White babyface in this match. She's going to win. She's going to win against the odds. Jasmine Nix and JC Jane are going to try to have a two-on-one advantage. Something's going to happen. Thea Hale's going to get the win. We're all going to feel fucking wonderful because sometimes wrestling can just make you feel fucking wonderful. I think it's awesome. I think Thea Hale's awesome. JC Jane, I enjoy her as a character on my television. I still don't think they've quite figured her out. When they put her into Chase Yu, I don't know whether they thought that was going to be a face turn that worked or, oh my god, she was evil all along, and then they just sort of chose a direction. I don't think there was much to that. Okay. Gonna be a lot of fun. Predictable outcome, but this is gonna be a lot of fun. The big old, big meaty men slapping man meat. Obafemi defending the NXT North American Championship against fucking Ivar. Fucking Ivar and Obafemi are just gonna run into each other. They're just gonna run into each other. You know when you talk about it, and we talk about the cocaine guy that runs the other show, and how when he books a show, he's basically smashing his action figures together. Now that's every week. That doesn't work every week. But every once in a while, you get this. That's what this is. That's what this is going to be. It's okay if you do it once in a while. It's been suggested very recently that WWE, with a couple of failed attempts at having a cruiserweight division, ought to introduce a super heavyweight division. I don't know if it would work. I'm actually pretty sure that it wouldn't work, but I would still love to see them try. I think that would be fucking awesome. I mean, oh, the first name that came to mind is another guy that's not there anymore, and that's Von Wagner, which is sad. But, I mean, if you get Von Wagner, Obafemi, Braun Breaker, Ivar, Bronson Reed, Otis, all these big fucking dudes, just do it. Just give me a super heavyweight division. 5 minutes. I know we're already doing the 3 minute matches on WWE Speed. Also, they crowned the first WWE Speed champion after SmackDown last night. I'm not going to say who it is. I am going to say that I saw the belts, and in a time where WWE is knocking out some pretty killer belts, this was a miss. Go and Google it. You can see pictures from the show. Obviously, it'll be a spoiler for who won, but it's not a great-looking belt, guys. I'm just telling you. I was half worried that it was going to have, like, a Twitter logo on it, which, in this case, would be an X logo, which would make it look like another NXT championship, but that's another story for another day as well. But we can do that. We can do Speed. We can do the three-minute matches in the dark matches and whatever. Give me five-minute super heavyweights just smashing each other for their own type of title. Also, speaking of Ivar, Eric and Sarah Rowe / Sarah Logan / Valhalla are expecting another kid. Big congratulations for them. That's fucking awesome. It's kind of weird because Eric's been off with medical stuff, so his wife has been on TV as kind of a, like, Viking manager for Ivar, which is cool. Like, he's at home doesn't mean necessarily she has to be at home. Not implying that in the slightest. Look at Becky Lynch. Seth Rollins is at home right now, and she just became, I guess, I don't want to say this in a bad way, but interim women's world champion. So she can definitely do the same thing. But they're having another kid. That's fantastic. Now, what does that do to the presentation of Ivar, who's used to having Valhalla sort of at his side as far as a manager capacity? I really don't know. I don't think he's staying in NXT that long. I think this is a gigantic exhibition for the gigantic North American champion to smash another gigantic guy. And it's going to be a lot of fucking fun. If and I don't think they will, for reasons that will become obvious in a second. If they decide to make this the main event of the evening, I wouldn't mind it, you know? I wouldn't mind it. Make me think Ivar's going to win. Make me think Ivar's going to win so that when Obafemi gets up and, like, chucks him around like an empty tracksuit, to borrow the Adam Nicholas expression, and then chucks him into the fifth row because he can, it's going to be fucking awesome. Obafemi's a beast. This is probably... I mean, there's probably somebody that I latched onto faster, but, like, in recent memory, I don't remember latching on to a brand new wrestler as much as I've immediately hopped on the Obafemi bandwagon. Really, really cool stuff. And hopefully we get something for Ivar as well. I really love to see Ivar go for the NXT speech, or the WWE Speed Championship. That would be hilarious, because who the fuck would take it off him? What I do think will be the main event, just because they typically put these matches in the main event because of all the stuff that they have to do with the ring and getting the people out there and getting the ropes and all that kind of shit. It's NXT Underground. Awesome. It's the first women's NXT Underground match in the history of NXT. I really do like what NXT has done with the NXT Underground concept. Raw Underground was just Shane McMahon yelling at people. I don't know. I don't particularly hate Shane McMahon like a lot of people do, but it was goofy as hell. But it's Natalya versus Lola Vice. Now, Lola Vice apparently has MMA background or whatever, and Natalya was trained in the dungeons, so on paper it makes sense. The downfall of this, and I say it all the time, and I feel bad every time I say this, because apparently she's an absolutely wonderful person. Does anybody care about Natalya? I really want somebody to care about Natalya. I want to be able to say, she's an amazing wrestler. I want to push her towards a championship because I think she deserves it. At the same time, she's the one that had the farting gimmick for a while and does crazy cat lady things and does, like, Twitch streams with her sister where they compare tits. I'm a guy. I like tits. But, like, none of those things make me care about you as a wrestler. There's a whole lot of wrestlers on the roster that are hot, but I wouldn't necessarily push them to a world title. She's going to do what Natalya does. She's going to make Lola Vice look like $1 million. She's going to be overshadowed by the fact that it's Lola Vice that looks like $1 million. And she's probably not going to get the credit that she deserves for this match, which is really fucking sad. It's kind of a foregone conclusion. She's there to make Lola Vice look good. She's got Carmen Petrovic in her corner, which is, like, she showed up one day for the women's breakout tournament, and then she kind of didn't do anything, and then she decided she was going to be Natalya's friend whenever she's in NXT. I don't know. But the other fly in the ointment is Lola Vice wanted somebody in her corner as well. I do think it's kind of cool that they're treating it kind of like a boxing match, kind of like an MMA match. Everybody has somebody in their corner. It's very much like the way they lay out the Heritage Cup matches, where everybody has a corner person, but Lola Vice's corner person, as we found out last week, is going to be Shayna fucking Baszler. Now, if we're going to do NXT Underground, and we're going to have Shayna Baszler involved, why don't you put Shayna Baszler in NXT Underground? I know they're both heels, but if you're going to try and get Lola Vice over as an MMA person in Underground, take the woman that was just permitted by WWE, even though people say WWE never do this, to go and participate in Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. Let them talk about that a little bit, put a little bit of hype on his show, but also say, hey, here's Shayna Baszler, look what she did WrestleMania weekend. Isn't that fucking cool? You can have her go in there, face Lola Vice, and they can have a good fucking scrap. Natalya's going to do a fine job. Don't get me wrong, and as I say, she will not get the credit she deserves for the put-over job that I believe she's going to do for Lola Vice here. But I think it's a little off the mark that you've got this person you're trying to get over as an MMA person in this sort of quasi-MMA thing that they try to do every now and then. I like this better than the Fight Pit, actually, and I never thought I would say that. But you've got Shayna Baszler in Lola Vice's corner instead of across the ring from her. You've missed a switch there, and that's not an NXT thing. That's an NXT / WWE thing. Please find a I know she's tagging with Zoe Stark right now, and that's fine, because I like Zoe Stark as well, and if they become tag champions, awesome. please find a proper platform for Shayna Baszler. Please. If you're not going to keep the belt on Becky Lynch until Rhea Ripley comes back, put the belt on Shayna Baszler. You should have had her beat Becky Lynch way, 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 way back when. Have her do it now when Rhea Ripley comes back, probably as a face because we will have missed her for so long. Put her in that title picture. Have them recreate what they did in the main event of the night that beat Dynamite all those years ago, and have Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler just tear it up. Have them do it at a pay-per-view. Have them do it at the main event, or at least a very, very prominent spot on a big four pay-per-view. Shayna Baszler deserves a platform. Lola Vice deserves a platform as well, and a platform with somebody of similar skill who can bring everything out of her. Natalia is going to do a great job. I don't know what this means for Carmen Petrovic. Shayna Baszler put over Carmen Petrovic because Carmen Petrovic, during the contract signing for NXT Underground, gave her a swift kick to the head, and Baszler didn't move an inch. Baszler sold better. I'm going to say it. I don't care. Come at me in the comments, bro. She sold that one kick to the head better than Tony Khan sold the Tony Khan driver. Eat shit, AEW. If you're this far into the pod, you know what I think of AEW. It's fine. This is going to be a lot of fun. Natalia Lola Vice is going to be a lot of fun. Petrovic and Baszler, I'm sure, will do something on the outside at some point. But I kind of hope that they don't, because they are playing it up a lot that this is the first ever women's NXT Underground match. And I like the NXT Underground match concept. NXT has some really cool concepts. They have NXT Underground. They have the Iron Survivor, which is awesome. They've got a couple of other things that they do. They did have War Games, and then Triple H said, nope, I'll be having that on the main roster now. But it's cool, and it's cool that the ladies are finally doing it. And it's not a big, oh, we'll just throw them something because they're ladies. Lola Vice, it makes sense. Natalia, it makes sense if that's what she's going to do while she's down there. But like anything else, like the Iron Survivor, NXT Underground matches, keep them few and far between and keep them fun, and make sure you think about who you're putting in them, not just, hey, we want to put one on. I've rambled for over half an hour now, and this is a card that only has 5 matches on it, and one of them is 2 guys I don't know versus I don't know who they're facing. I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. I'm ridiculously hyper. I've got a million other things to do today, so I'm going to cut off the pod right here, and I'm going to do my typical thing of, I've been Spaz, your YWC reality check. Subscribe up there, talk down there, start a conversation, keep all these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I will talk to you tonight. That's what I'm going to do later, but for right now, tagging out. Bye, guys.